We'll endeavor to talk to you about a broken spirit. When I see the young men get up here to sing that song, I feel that we all recognize that that's a representative of five strong spirits. I believe that the Lord intended for it to be that way. And I believe that the Lord intends for you young men and those of us that are getting older to have a strong spirit. I'd like to begin trying to identify what we're talking about in this spirit with a few verses. And maybe I could say it this way. I've found that any time that I'm trying to find a resolution to a complicated problem, the better I understand how something is supposed to be, the easier the solution is to find. So I'd like for us to begin maybe looking here in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, will be the first verse that we looked at. 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to begin reading, or just read one verse here, verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the thing I want us to get a hold of here is the Apostle Paul identifies here three separate parts of the human creation. He says, your whole spirit and soul and body, and his design, his burden is that it would be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I believe the Lord intends for us to have a whole strong spirit. All right? So I'd like to go now with the Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And not only am I trying to establish that the spirit should be whole and that it ought to be strong, but I want us to recognize the complexity of us as humanity. So let's go to Hebrews 4 and 12 here. He says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, maybe there's some of you here that this seems to be more of a remedial verse, but to me there's a lot of complexity in here. And when I begin to try to differentiate between the soul and the spirit, it becomes difficult for me. There's something here that, where does the attributes of the soul cease and the attributes of the spirit pick up? But I believe that God, when He breathed into mankind and he became a living soul, He gave him something else. He gave him a spirit. A spirit that he should govern himself. It's a spirit in man that gives them a drive and a motivation for their everyday course of life. So I'm trying to establish here the function of, and it's hard to sometimes be able to visualize exactly where the Spirit fits into the character and the makeup of mankind. I know sometimes when we're trying to fix complicated things. We get down to the point that we have to eliminate all of the outside possibilities, and we get down to the things that's in all of our machinery today, and that's that little circuit board or little block box that's got all of the smarts in there. And we get down to that, and we have to make sure that everything else is all right. And we may not be able to say, I know which solder joint is loose or which little IC chip has left us, and I don't know what actual little bitty one of those bumps on the board is causing the problem, but I just know it's in there somewheres. Okay, so I'm not don't know that I can explain this to everyone's satisfaction of the exact function of our spirit, but I want to tell you, you're given one, and it needs to be healthy, and it needs to be strong. And the Lord intends for it to be something that is used for His purpose and to bring glory to His image. So, in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, I want to notice what the writer says here in Proverbs 20 and 27. He says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." Now, a candle is a very, we'll just say that it's an old tool. It's something that mankind used in years gone by to help him see when the natural light had went down. It was a man-made light, I guess you could say. But it says here, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's something that the Lord wants to use. He says here, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, I know it's dark down in the belly, so you need a light. And I know that there are dark places in life that we need the Lord to be able to use other individuals to help us in our troubles, in the places of distress that we have. So, I want us to get a hold of how powerful the Spirit is that God blessed mankind to have. I want to tell you that I believe the Spirit is something that helps mankind persevere in the times of failure and disappointments. And you'll see this when the ones that are maybe more experienced or something, when they face disappointments and failures of whatever magnitude, they will come and realize that this is conquerable. We can rise above whatever the distress is. But if the Spirit is not good and strong, everything starts falling apart. And I know that in this particular location that we're in this evening, that your spirits have been challenged when you were faced with cleanup again. But I want to tell you, it takes a strong spirit to face the obstacles that and in the conditions that the environment around put on you to be able to rise above that. It takes a good, strong spirit. If the spirit is broken, you don't make progress. Okay? So I'm trying to establish now not only that the spirit is part of the complexity of mankind, but it is a powerful component in our being and who we are. And God wants it to be a strong element. He doesn't want it to be, He said He wanted it to be presented, what? Holy, completely, fully functional, not in two pieces, not dismembered, not drained of its power. You know, a strong spirit that's guided in the right direction is very beneficial. But a strong spirit that's not guided in the right direction, we call it rebellion. So it's important as parents that as our children come along, that we guide their spirits in the right direction. And we condition them to do the right things. And we do that with various techniques and principles. But if we allow their spirit to go rampant without giving them direction, we're going to have trouble on our hands. We all know that. It's kind of like having a something like a pressure washer that slips out of your hand, and then you're trying to chase that thing down before it really hurts something. In my line of work, sometimes the end will blow off of an air hose. And if the end blows off of the air hose and it's got the capacity and the pressure behind it, that thing can really do some moving. And as it begins to move around, it can blow dirt and it can throw itself up against something, and it could actually cause some damage. But as long as the power that's in that hose is connected to a tool, it's a very powerful element. And it's aimed in the right direction. So mankind's spirit is something that's very powerful. And it's something that it needs direction. We get here, one of the most helpless creatures that God created, and we're in the hands of our parents, and we as parents have this immense responsibility to start guiding this little mind and this little character and this little spirit down a path that somewhere down the road you're going to be able to depend on them to perform tasks that are mature and are responsible. And not only that, that they're a benefit to society and to God's cause. The Scripture tells us that we ought to train up a child in the way they ought to go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. That training will follow after them. If you will help guide this strong component that's in their nature, you don't have to be 6'2" and 250 pounds to have a strong spirit. You can be a very small person in stature and have a strong spirit. And a strong spirit has to be directed whether you're a large frame person or not. So, Lord, help us to recognize the power that's on tap in the spirit of mankind. All right? So, I'd like to move now to Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and notice the 14th verse. He says here, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" So the first part of the verse tells me that the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. So even if there is something that comes that is an injury, the spirit that is within us, that strong force that we are given because we're a human, because God created us that way, will help us in the time that we have some distress. Yeah. All right? But it says here, a wounded spirit, who can bear? Have you ever noticed if a group of individuals have the want to, how much more can get accomplished than a group that don't have the want to?
That's right.
If you have a group of people that really want to accomplish something, then things start really happening. And it's because of the Spirit that's in there, a Spirit that's been cultivated and been guided in the right direction. But if the Spirit is not cult, if it's wounded, it's not holy, it's not, I'm not talking about righteous holiness here. I'm talking about if it's not completely functional, then the force is dissipated. It's not near as strong. It's not, there's, the capacity is reduced. All right? So, using our next generation as an example, if we condition their spirit to only perform when something is entertaining, then when something comes along that's classified as work, it won't get done. But if we condition them, their spirits, to perform work tasks, and then if there's other things to do that is just for enjoyment, they can understand that if they get the work done first, then we can do something that's fun. I remember many times going to work days at Myrtle as a young person, and we done the work before we went to the creek to go swimming. Now, we generally went swimming in the summertime when we had worked on the campground, some of us boys, but we weren't allowed to go until we got the job done first. But I was conditioned that way. I was trained that way. So, bear with us. I'm headed somewhere. All right. If we realize the potential, recognize that the younger ones coming on have to be directed and guided, I want us to realize how this type of thing should be protected and respected. All right? Because he says here, a wounded spirit, who can bear? So I wrote on the board, a broken spirit. And I want us to recognize that a wounded spirit and a broken spirit that I want to try to talk about and identify as the problem is not somebody's hurt feelings. Okay? That's a fleshly thing. If your feelings are hurt, that's not really a wounded spirit. That's not what I'm talking about. The spirit that's wounded is something that can't function like it should, not because you've got a bad attitude, but because there's something that's sabotage. All right? Okay. There is times when you've seen people perform in times of maybe physical injury, maybe in the face of verbal confrontation and things like that. And we go away and we think, well, those were really strong people. Well, what we've seen was a manifestation of a healthy spirit, maybe. So, but when someone can't perform, you know, our world is full of people that have broken spirits. And there's a reason behind that. And I want to try to, that's where I want to try to go today. Our world is full of people with broken spirits. And they look on and see those that have strong spirits, and they're able to face opposition. They're able to face hurt feelings, other things, and they're able to go on and make progress. And they look on and say, I wish I could do that. But I don't know how. They don't seem possible to me. So, what is it? What are we talking about here? I would just like to tell you a little first-hand experience. I don't know how altogether. I know some of it, but I don't understand altogether because I didn't make myself, all right? The Lord created me and my parents trained me. And so it's not my own doing at all, but I feel like I've had a very strong spirit in my life. I've met some things that a lot of people would just give up on. I remember one time working on a car, big project, working on the ground, no lift. The place I was working didn't have any lifts. I was working on a front-wheel drive car, and I had to drop the subframe to get the transmission out, and I got it out and took it all apart and put it back together and put it in. And one time I put it in and it wouldn't back up. And you take it all apart and take it out again and find what I did wrong and put it back in, and then something else didn't work. I had it out 5 times. I will tell you, if you don't have a strong spirit, I've seen people quit. Just, I'm done. Take my little box of tools and go home. I've seen multiple people get angry at something. We heard this morning about somebody that hit the window of the car door because it was locked. I've seen people do things that it wasn't going to help their situation at all, but there was something wrong with their spirit. It wasn't strong enough. You see? So I know something about having a strong spirit. And I know something about a broken spirit too. And I'm not talking hypothetically tonight. I want to talk to you about what it feels like to have some of that strength of your spirit to be dissipated. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. I was reading a week or so before we came down here and come across this verse. And when I read this verse, I felt a real burden for myself and for others that have a broken spirit. And I want you to know I feel like the Lord has helped me tremendously. But I want you to notice the 13th verse. He says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." And I read that, "but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." I'm not talking about somebody saying something mean or derogatory to you and you not really even knowing why they said it to you or anything like that, and it just hurting your feelings and not. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, it says here, "but by sorrow of heart, the heart is broken." The spirit is broken, I'm sorry. So I looked up, one of the commentators says this, "Every kind of sorrow worketh death, but the sorrow which is the offspring of true repentance." So any other sorrow that doesn't bring us to a place of repentance before God is going to be injurious to our spirit. Okay? "This alone is helpful to the soul." If your sorrow to repentance for your sins, that's a good thing. All right? "But he says here, the indulgence of a disposition to sighing tends to destroy life." Does that resonate? with anyone? Every deep sigh throws off a portion of the vital energy. Every deep sigh. You ever caught yourself? Not because you were tired, or not because you were feeling maybe hot or something like that. I'm talking about deep sorrow. Have you ever caught yourself sighing because of that? You know, if you're sighing because of deep sorrow, there's some of the strength of your spirit that's being dissipated. And the more that those deep sorrows are able to weigh you down in life, the more your spirit becomes broken. And I'm not talking about somebody telling you that you're ugly and your mama dresses you funny. That's not what I'm talking about. But it could be a component in there. I'd like for us to spend just a little time, and I feel like this is a very maybe shallow skeleton that I'm going to give you about the cause and the source of broken spirits. They come from various places in our lives, in our experiences. Obviously, a broken spirit can come from physical abuse. And not just bumping your head, but someone that is physically abusive. Every time you're around them, they're pushing and shoving and banging on you and causing bruises and causing things that cause you to feel physical pain. That's physical abuse. There's verbal abuse. People that repetitively, continually are putting you down. Telling you that you're not worth anything, that you're doing something wrong. I know what it's like to work with people that I've worked with a man one time that would come over and stand and watch me for a while, and then he would say, "You're doing that wrong." Well, it kind of hurt my feelings. The same man came right up to me when I was talking to a customer one time, and I was explaining to the customer how what I'd done had not brought the resolution we wanted. His vehicle still had a problem, and I was telling him that I was going to make sure that we got his problem resolved. And this fellow walks up and asks what had happened, and when I told him, he said, "You ought to know better than that." So I know what it's like for people to hurt my feelings, all right? But it's more than that. I'm talking about verbal abuse. I'm talking about talking derogatory to a person on a continual, consistent basis. That's verbal abuse. And I'm going to tell you, it will cause a person to lay on your bed and sigh. It'll cause you to have tears running down your face. And every time you sigh, there's some of the strength of your spirit that will begin to dissipate out of you. Accusations can cause your spirit to be broken. There are accusations that have been thrown out there that are non-justifiable. There are accusations that's not based on facts. There's accusations that might be based on some facts, but it's not the whole truth. But they're meant to be injurious. That's an accusation. And when accusations are thrown out over and over and over and over and over again till it's normal in your environment to be accused of wrongdoing continually, I'm going to tell you, your spirit will become broken. All right? It's one thing to fail. It's another thing to fail at something in life and be criticized and pointed out how you ought to have been smarter, you ought to have been faster, you ought to have been stronger, you ought to have done something. It was preventable, and it's just because you're a klutz. And if those kind of failures are emphasized on over and over and over, there will be some sighing that goes on. And your spirit will become broken. And when your spirit is broken, it says here, if your spirit is wounded, who can bear it? All right? So I want to go on a little bit more on the things that bring a broken spirit. Rejection. You ever been rejection? Been rejected? I imagine all of us have. Maybe it was because you didn't get there on time, and maybe it was because of who you were. Maybe they didn't like you. They liked the person that was standing right behind you in line, and they rejected you and took them. I don't know. But we've all faced rejection of some sort or another in life. But constant rejection, never being able to be part of the thing you wanted to be part of, constant rejection will cause a spirit to be broken. Many times, an atmosphere that creates brokenness will cause collateral damage. You know what I mean by collateral damage? It means that there are those that are injured that weren't the intended targets. It's one thing if somebody says something to me and they don't like my looks, or they don't like what I did, or they don't like what I said. And it's another thing when it impacts my household, whether it's my spouse or my children. That's collateral damage. When a spirit is wounded, there's going to be innocent people that are impacted by that. There's no other way around it. There's going to be innocent people. Many times it's children that get totally innocent in the situation. And you know, if you grow up in a home, and this is why our world is in so much trouble. If you grow up in a home that had a broken spirit in it, or maybe two broken spirits, if you grow up in a home like that, the odds of you not having a broken spirit is pretty slim. Most likely, you're going to have a broken spirit too. And it's going to be so normal to have a broken spirit that you don't even recognize it for what it is. All you know is you see someone else being able to accomplish and maybe pursue something that you wished you could, and it's just like, I don't know how to make it happen. I don't know how to stick with it. I don't know how to follow through. And if you have a broken spirit, then it'll bring other... It's just something that accumulates more and more distress all around it. And our world is so troubled and sickened by this thing all around us. So when I read this verse that says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by a sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. You know, when you can go about your daily task with a song in your heart and maybe on your lips, and you're able to portray a strength of character in what you're doing, did you know that that will build the strength of all that collateral that's around you? It could be your coworkers. I know what it's like to work with coworkers that like to listen to things that's depressing and violating to me. And I can come home and I just feel like I need to detox sometimes if when I come home from listening to some of the music, the world. It's no wonder they have so many problems of the stuff they listen to out there, just on and all day long listening to things that are depressing and things that are violent and things that are crashing and banging. And I just want to get away. That's why I don't turn the radio on the way home. That's when I was working in town. And I'm thankful, most of you know, we're not working in town anymore and working at a place with my son. And, you know, we haven't made a rule, but we haven't let any radios get started. You know, I can sing there. Even people don't like it, I just sing anyway. And I'm not very good at singing a whole song, but I might get through a phrase or something and just sing it over and over again. And nobody says, "You better be quiet or I'm going to get a radio." That's what they would tell me in town sometime. But you know, if we can sing some of the songs we have in our hymnal, many times the Lord can bring a verse of song to us right in the midst of our impossible situation, and you're trying to bring a resolution to whatever difficulty you got, and the Lord can bring a verse of song to your mind and give you an uplift and give your spirit a boost right in the midst of that distress, whatever it is. And I'm so glad I'm not listening to something that takes me down the other path. So I want us now to start thinking about how we get out of a position of a broken heart. And I'm just going to have to tell you, I'm going to try to give you what I feel like the Lord has given me. I'd like to turn to begin with Psalms, the 51st chapter, the 51st Psalm. And I'm going to read just a few verses here. I believe, just like this song said, you want to hear the story of how I made it through when life is full of trouble, pain, and fear. Now, anybody that thinks that life doesn't have trouble, pain, and fear in it has got their head in the sand. All right? He says here, the answer may sound simple, though everything else crumbles. One thing has remained through all the years. I still serve an amazing God. God was going to see us through. And I want you to know tonight that I believe that the Lord has a healing and a help for a broken spirit. If there's a broken and wounded spirit here tonight, I want you to know that I believe God has the answer. You don't have to go on perpetually. It's one thing to look on with a far distant anticipation or yearning to be able to have a strong spirit like someone else has. And it's another thing to actually get there. And I want to tell you that this is not a convenient store for strong spirits, all right? There's a process to get there. But I believe there's a process of healing that the Lord has for us. So I'd like to begin looking here in Psalms 51. I want to read verses beginning verse 15. He says, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my voice, my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." And I believe that the Lord wants us to be broken in our spirit when it comes to realizing that we're a sinner and we're destitute and we're depraved. But I want us to get a hold of something else here tonight. I believe that the Lord wants us. What did you do with sacrifices in the Old Testament? You came and you just give it to the priest. You took your hands off of it. It wasn't yours any longer. Yeah. And you just turned it over to the Lord, and the fire on the altar burnt that thing up. So the first step that we're going to all have to do when we're trying to recover from a broken spirit is this. We're going to have to bring it to the Lord. And we're going to have to give it to Him wholly and completely. That's the first step I believe that we all have to do. We have to recognize I have a brokenness in my life. There is something here that is out of my control. And I know that we live in a society today that thinks everything is somebody else's fault. But there are things that impact us that cause our spirit to be broken. I'm not trying to sympathize with the spirit of the world. I'm just trying to talk about reality here. So, if you bring your broken spirit to the Lord, that is the paramount thing that we have to do. And not only bring it to Him, and there were some sacrifices that were brought to the Lord that they waved before the Lord. And it was not burned up. Okay? But this is a sacrifice that needs to be put on the altar and allowed to be consumed by God's fire. All right? So now I'd like for us to recognize, he says here, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, if you have a broken spirit, other people can capitalize on that and pick on you. If you have a lack of confidence and you don't have the same strength of spirit, at the bare minimum, some will say, come on, what's wrong with you? That'd be the minimum. And there'll be other people that'll spread the word. He don't have enough gumption to come in out of the rain, or whatever they're going to tell. There'll be something. I mean, it can get really, really ugly. Because you have a broken spirit. You have something that you know you're struggling with. And other people will capitalize on that and just grind it in the dirt. So, he says here, a broken spirit, what did it say? And a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. The Lord's not going to look down on you. You can bring your brokenness to the Lord, and He's not going to look at you like some kind of third-rate citizen. Amen. You can bring that brokenness to Him. You may not realize that you have brokenness till you come for salvation. But when you come and you're coming to the Lord for your spiritual needs, you may realize there's something else that's broken in my life. And it's not a spiritual brokenness. It's something about my spirit that I tried to define earlier. Too complicated for me. I just know it's in there. All right? I know you got one. I know I have a spirit. And I know it can be broken. But you can bring it to Him in whatever state of disrepair it is, and He's not going to look down on you. So I want you to come with confidence and put it on the altar. Okay? So now I'd like to go to Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and notice what the prophet Isaiah said to us here. In verse 2, he said, "For all those things have my hand made." The Lord's talking about His ability to make everything that we see in creation and how great His power is. He said, "For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to them that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Now the Lord is going to look not with an opportunity to disfigure you more, but He's going to look at those that have a... Remember, the other verse said that He's not going to despise you. So He's going to look toward... He's going to show consideration to those that have a contrite heart. And He says, "And trembleth at my word." So another step that we have to have in our recovery process from a broken spirit is to be able to recognize the power that's in God's Word, and to tremble and to fear that and respect the Word of God. We have to have a hungering and searching for our strength to face our insufficiencies and are the places that we realize we have brokenness in with the Word. I want you to know that I have seen this put into practice. I have seen those that had brokenness in their life, that had brokenness in their spirit, and yet they turned to the Lord and found the strength for their daily needs because it's in there. And they trembled at the Word. Many times I heard my wife's mother share scriptures that the Lord had given her in her life, and she had some brokenness to deal with. But the Lord helped her, and the Lord strengthened her, and the Lord loved her. And today I want you to know that if you have a broken spirit, the Lord loves you. And the Lord wants you to tremble and to be in a position to search the Scriptures to find your avenue for success in this. Now, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. And notice what the Apostle Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I believe it's in verse 5. Now he is writing to these people and recognizing that they're measuring up, they're progressing in their walk with the Lord. And he feels like that they're a testimony of the gospel. So let's look in verse 5. You know, a lot of people got saved under Paul's preaching, didn't they? He ministered to a lot of people. But notice here in verse number 5, he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." All right? So another step that we have, or another component we have to recognize, is not only am I going to bring my brokenness to the Lord and lay it on the altar, not only am I going to be trembling at and anticipating the strength and answers coming from the Word, the Scripture, but I'm going to recognize that my sufficiency is not in myself. Because many times, people that are the most broken can be the most arrogant. You ever notice that? People that have some of the most debilitating brokenness in their spirit sometimes can come across with more authority than somebody that don't even have a broken spirit. All right? But Paul says, you've got to recognize, I've got to keep in mind, my sufficiency is not of myself. It's of the Lord. This is a very key component of rising above. I believe there's healing with the help of the Lord. But it's not going to be a self-help healing. It's going to be something that we're seeking the Lord. Help me, Lord, in my distress in this time. I want to notice now in 1 John, the third chapter, in the 18th verse. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 18. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." So, it's important in our steps of recovery to recognize that we have a responsibility to examine our hearts, as the psalmist said over there in 139. He says, "Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me." He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And the writer here in 1 John says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, if you're broken, it's hard to have confidence. It's hard to put trust in anybody or anything. And it's important that we deal with our violations. If there's things in our life that we know we have got to take care of, it's important that we need to take care. I'm not talking about the things that have been done to us. I'm talking about the things that we have done. It's an important ingredient to recovery of a broken spirit. I've got to be willing to come to the place that I recognize I didn't do everything right. There's some failures on my part. And I want to be in a place where my heart doesn't condemn me. If I can get in that place, if I can bring my brokenness to the Lord, if I can look and be trembling, Lord, there's something in here for my situation. If I can be in a place where I recognize that my sufficiency is not of myself, and I am searching my heart, and I know that my heart is not condemning me. I know that I'm clear before the Lord. I know that if I have to go out and meet the Lord today, right now, that my heart is not going to condemn me. I'm going to be able to have a clear testimony. I'm going to tell you that's where we need to be. And we're trying to recover our spirit that's been broken. Many times a broken spirit justifies harboring things that you really need to get rid of. There's some stuff here that there's some attitudes. You know, it's hard not to have a bad attitude when somebody else is knocking you around. It doesn't matter if it's physically or verbally or if you're dealing with abrasive situations in the work environment or whatever, what kind of relationship it is, it's hard not to to develop a bad attitude towards the situation and other people involved. And Lord, help us to get in a place where our heart is not condemning us in that. And then I'd like to look at 1 Timothy, some advice that Paul gave to a young man. 1 Timothy here, the third chapter. Notice verse 7. He's talking about the qualifications of a bishop. And I believe all of us ought to be willing to share the gospel. So I'm going to say it applies to all of us tonight. He says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. A good report of them which are without. Generally, we think about, and I believe it does apply to those that are outside the bounds of professing Christianity. But I believe tonight, if you'll allow me, I'd like to apply it to those that are outside of our circumstance and our situation. You know, if you have a broken spirit, it's nice to have people to understand. I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. You got brokenness in your life, it's nice to have somebody else that says, I know what you're feeling. But you know, I believe the Lord would like to help us have a good report. Instead of trying to spread our troubles around, Lord, help me to take them to You. Help me to put them on that altar and let you do what you need to with them. Let you take vengeance and whatever else needs to be done. I'll just take that to You, Lord, and let You burn it up and do whatever You need to. And Lord, help me to check myself. I don't want my heart to condemn me. I want to be clear before You. I want to look to the Word, that it'll give me something here to help me. Sometimes you feel like you're just hanging on. Just barely hanging on. And sometimes there's so many problems, you don't even hardly know where to start. I realize that. I'll give you a little example. My everyday life, Had one recently. It come in. Low power was the issue, they said. Well, we went to try to drive. We drove it once, and my son said, yes, it's low on power. And then I went to work on it, and it wouldn't even run. So it won't talk to our scan tool. And well, I got to start checking all that other stuff besides the box, you know. So I start checking, and I don't have any power to it. Found a broken wire. Well, this sounds good. I fixed a broken wire. Still no power. All right. I keep looking. I found another broken wire. All right. Now I'm sure got it fixed now. Went back. Still no power. I found three broken places in one circuit. Now how did it even get there? I don't know. There's a lot of things. We don't know how it gets to where it is in our life. And that wasn't even the reason it had low power. I found another broken wire. It's an old vehicle. You know, some of our problems are old too. You might have some old brokenness. You might have something that's been hanging on for more than a generation. And you might start digging in there and saying, Lord, I want to take that. I want to get rid of this thing. I want to take it to the altar. I want you to do something with it. I want to check myself. I want to make sure I'm not guilty of anything. I want to find the answers in the Word. I want to depend on you. I've been trying to muscle up and carry my own load, so to speak. But I want to find the solution to this. I want to have my spirit restored so I can look the devil in the eye and tell him, get out of here. I want that. And we start working on it and we find a problem here. Well, this is it. I found something that I can fix. That's what I was thinking. And I've done that four times and it still wouldn't start. So I checked everything again. Yeah, it's all okay. So it's in there somewheres. So we sent it off and got the box fixed. I don't know what they did to it all together, but we put it back on and it runs now. And you know, we're going to have to do everything we know. And I believe these are some things we ought to know to do. Lord, help me to do the things that's necessary. Let me check myself. Let me go. Let me bring it to you. I need to bring it to you instead of trying to disguise it or ignore it or pretend it doesn't happen and it's everybody else's fault and all of that. We can't do that. We're going to have to bring it to the Lord. And we have to be able to follow a process. You know, one of the biggest things that'll trip me up in my job is not following a process that's required to find the solution. I can just randomly do things and just be confused when I get to the end. And we can be doing random things that we think it ought, but we're going to have a purpose. I'm going to have to start somewheres. And you're going to have to start fixing the things that you know you can fix. Take care of those. The ones that's in my heart. The ones that's on my side of the field. Got one last scripture that I want to read to us. And I trust it'll be an encouragement to us. I'd like to go to the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Jeremiah was a man that knew what it meant to face contradiction. And when he prophesied and told the king what the Lord told him to tell him, he ended up down in an old pit. And he knew what it meant to be knocked around and abused. So he's not someone that's out of touch with reality. But the Lord, in 18:1, it says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. I know we've heard this verse read many times, and most of the time we use it to apply to just our personal failures, big failures. But I want us to think about something here today. You know, sometimes when our spirit is wounded, we begin to look at the collateral damage. We'll begin to look at all of the impact and how it has disturbed a big wide spectrum of maybe other people. And maybe it's consumed a big part of your life. But I want you to know that the Lord can take the things that's marred and make it into, He says here, another vessel. You know, if I'm not careful, I can begin to have an attitude of vindictiveness of how the brokenness that has come my way out of no fault of my own has marred what I thought the Lord wanted to do in my life. I just knew the Lord was going to use me in a certain area. I knew that He had certain blessings for me, and everything seemed to be going my way, and all of a sudden there's brokenness that comes and my spirit is wounded. And my desire to try is not there like it used to be. You know, that's a sign of a broken spirit. Your want to has dissipated. And you find that you're sighing from deeply within because of sorrow of heart. And you realize that I'm so crushed down with rejection, with abuse, with failure and criticism that followed it. I just can't rise above it in my spirit. Why'd I attempt it? Why'd I try? That's a sign of a broken spirit. But I want you to know, the Lord would like to make you into another vessel. The Lord would like to restore your spirit. He'd like to give you strength and courage to face the world. You know, something that can be a challenge to other people is when they see someone that's been broken in their spirit be able to be recovered. And when they see that, you can really be a help to somebody. They can say, you know, if the Lord can help them, He can help me too. And I believe the Lord can help you because He's helped me. He's helped me to start coming back out of a place where I didn't want to try very much. And I believe the Lord can help you with that. But it's only because we can search our hearts. We can take it to Him. I cannot muscle my way through this. I'm going to have to recognize my help comes from the Lord. That's the only way I'm going to rise above it. So I desire your prayers. I want you to be blessed and encouraged. And if you're broken here tonight, I want you to know the Lord's in the business of helping you with that. The Lord can help you be another vessel. One that others can look on as a beacon. Someone that they can tie off to. Anchor down to. You know, if we just allow the natural course of depravity in the world around us, there'll be more and more brokenness without healing. But there's healing in Jesus for us today. You pray for me.